Hello and welcome to the Outlander Sassenach Fan Podcast. I'm Aisling.
I'm Gracie.
And this is just a fan podcast where we talk about the latest episode of Outlander and all the things that have kind of gone on during the week. And this week, well, a lot went on.
Unless you live under a rock, I am sure you've heard that there was a major meltdown on Twitter this past week involving comments from shippers and anti-shippers. In case you don't know what a shipper is someone who wants two characters or two people to be together.
And in most stories, what they do is they put two characters that, you know, either might get together or would never get together. But, you know, they ship them because it's fun. And in the Outlander Sassenach, or sorry, in the Outlander fandom, because our two favorite characters, like, they're already together. They're a thing, right? So,
but the actors are not. And so people like to see them together, which is fine. That doesn't bother me. You can ship away. But this week there was a lot of drama because of some interview that Katrina Balfe did, where she essentially, you know, said, you know, we've talked about the rumors about me and Sam Heughan dating, and, you know, they're not true, but some people blur the lines between fantasy and reality. Some people took offense to that, and then they blasted her on Twitter, and then people retaliated to those people, and then William Shatner got involved.
It was
interesting.
It was a shit show.
Yeah, I was trying to be polite about it.
Yeah, well, I'll just say it was a total, utterly huge shit show.
And there's fault on both sides. Like, I'm not a shipper or an anti-shipper. I don't care. It ain't my business, you know? They'd make a cute couple, but I'm not going to go out there and be like, oh, they need to be together.
No. Well, yeah, because you know what? You have to think of it this way. I mean, I'm not an anti-shipper, but I do tend to get annoyed with shippers only because these are two people in real life, right? And they are just going on and they are living their lives, and they have, like, they're doing this TV show, which is, you know, an amazing TV show, and yeah, they're great friends, and it would be really, really cute if they got together, but they have other partners, and, you know, because people are trying to ship them, they have to keep saying over and over again, no, I'm sorry, we're not together.
And then you have people on Twitter who I don't know. The blame goes back and forth. Some people say it's anti-shippers trying to prove a point. And then anti-shippers say, no, shippers are just crazy. When, say, for instance, Katrina Balfe has, I think his name is Tony. He's been attacked before by both sides as far as being with Katrina. And you've seen, I don't know if you've noticed, but there has been a lot of pullback with Katrina and Sam on social media, especially since all these shipping wars started. And this week was probably the worst one that I've seen. You know, so.
Well, exactly, because, again, they're just trying to live their lives, and they love their fans. I mean, if I was in their situation.
There are fans that just
take it too far. Yeah.
And that's for both sides. It's not a blameless situation.
Can I please say this? I've made this joke before, but I don't care. I'm going to make it again. Why is a good chunk of these, like, you know, obsessed fans Canadian? Like, we're supposed to be very nice people. Like, tone it down, guys, okay? I mean, come on. We get it. It's really cold up here and there's not much else to do but watch, you know, TV and stuff during the summer and the winter. But, like, tone that shit down. You give a Canadian the freaking internet and then they suddenly go a little bit haywire, okay? That seems to be happening quite often now. And I am sick of this shit.
But I wrote a really long, I wrote a really long Tumblr post, and the gist of it was, you know, if you don't agree with someone, then, you know, or they attack you.
Keep scrolling, keep scrolling, like.
Yeah, just scroll by, block them, just ignore them. Because when you engage with someone that's trolling you, it feeds them. They get off on that shit, you know, they love it. So the best advice I can give you, even if you're an anti-shipper or a shipper, is to just scroll on by if you don't like what you see. It makes things a lot more peaceful. I know I am not perfect. Sometimes I poke crazy with a stick and I want to have the last word. I do it in political, you know, things, which I won't get into on here because this is an Outlander thing. but I do it sometimes just to be a bitch. So we're not immune, but in most cases, I really would suggest just let it go, scroll by, leave it alone.
It's harder said than done, because I mean, I poke crazy with a stick sometimes too.
Yeah, we've all done it. I'm not saying I'm innocent. I've done it too, just to be a bitch. But 99 times out of 100, the best thing you could possibly do is to just let it go. Just sing the Elsa song in your head and move on. It's the easiest thing.
Like, there's other things to worry about. So kind of going off of that note, we kind of want to go to a more serious topic. And that is the horrific events from early this morning in Orlando.
Yes. There was a nightclub called Pulse, and at 2 o'clock this morning, it was attacked by a man named Omar something or other, whatever. That coward doesn't deserve to be named anyway.
No, I mean, you really,
But, 50 people were killed and there are 53 injured. It's really horrific. Florida, as I know right now, is still in a state of emergency. There was also a guy in Santa Monica, California, that attempted to have a terrorist attack on an LGBT pride parade today, aside from the thing in Florida, but he was caught, thankfully.
And the thing is, it is Pride Month. It's a time where, you know, people, I don't usually say this, but I am part of the community as well, in my own way.
It's devastating.
Yeah, it's devastating whether you are or not. And it is a hate crime and it is an act of domestic terrorism.
Very much so. I have family in Florida. And I actually have some LGBT family members that live in Orlando. So I was a little worried this morning. Thankfully, my family members are okay. But 50 people, you know, it was also, it's just, I don't know. As far as casualties go, it's the most tragic since 9/11 here in the States. And it's like fourth on the scale of domestic terrorism, if you count Pearl Harbor and the Oklahoma City bombings. So
that's a lot of people.
It's been a very, very sad day. It's the deadliest mass shooting we've ever had. It outdid Virginia Tech. It's just awful. So I just want to send my condolences out to the family members of those who lost someone. And I want to give my prayers to the victims that are recovering, and hopefully they all make it out, even though I'm sure they're going to be very much affected for the rest of their life because of this, because of a coward. If they're really in desperate need of blood, so If you live in the United States, even really close to Florida, and you haven't given any blood, I would ask that you please do that. They need O positive, O negative, and AB mostly, but if you would just go and donate, that would be amazing.
And if you are O negative, oh my God, you have no idea, because with blood, O negative is the one that can be transferred to everybody, I believe.
I thought it was O positive.
No, O positive is the most common, because I have O positive as well. But no, O negative, which is the blood that my brother has, they're always calling his ass up because, you know, he's got you know, the rare blood type, because it's not.
That's because there are 53 victims in the hospital, most of them with substantial wounds. There's been a lot of lost blood, so they're doing a lot of blood transfusions. And if you could just, you know, donate to your local blood bank in hopes that maybe your blood will help somebody, that would be, you know, the best thing you can do for the situation. Yeah. So we're going to transition now and just start talking about the episode.
So we go with this episode, which is Prestipans, and no, it is not your mom's.
It was written by Ira Bear. I don't know his middle name.
I don't know. He has a purple beard.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, whoa, what's up with that?
I didn't actually watch the little blurb at the end of the episode, so I can't tell you what happened during that little thing afterward.
He has a purple beard.
I was kind of torn up. So,
I do want to say, though, it is, the episode is called Prestipans, right? And that is because they are talking about your mom's dishware. I'm sorry. That was a dumb joke.
Your jokes are terrible.
I know. Yeah, I know. I was about to say it before, but you just had to, like, go off with, like, who wrote the goddamn, you know, episode. Okay. Let's get back to the serious stuff.
You can totally tell we love each other so much.
Yeah, well, shut the hell up, Gracie, okay? I'm sick of your shit. Okay.
Ooh, me, innocent face.
Yeah. Okay, you're about as innocent as I can't think of anything right now. A rose? Yeah, you're thorny. Oh God. What did I do?
Okay. Just to recap last week, very briefly, you wanna do that?
Oh no, you're gonna do it. You wanna talk so much.
No, you do it.
No. Oh, okay. What happened last week again? I forget.
Totally fucking blanking right now.
Okay. Okay. So last week, what happened?
Please edit
was
that part out.
No. Okay. Okay. Oh my gosh. This is horrible. What? The whole thing? The whole thing where we. Oh God, this is
last week was when they were doing all the training and shit.
Oh yeah, the part where they had the eye of the tiger.
Please forgive me for forgetting that. My mind just totally
because it's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight.
Yep, apparently we're gonna have that video eventually.
I don't know the rest of the song, and I'm going to
continue. I don't think anybody does except for you.
Na 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 of the tiger.
Yeah, basically okay. That's all that happened last week.
Yeah.
And we met Lord John Grey, who doesn't become really important until season 3, so.
But I love him.
But we met him, so yeah. There's that. So now that we're preparing for battle, there's first we see Claire when the episode opens staring at a dead man that had been killed by British soldiers.
And he is nasty.
Oh, God, he was gross.
That was rough to look at. But yeah, so she kind of goes into her... So she goes into her monologue because, you know, I mean, last week, especially while we were doing the whole, you know, episode of Eye of the Tiger, I mean, what was the episode actually called? I don't remember. Well, whatever. Anyways, so, but, you know, like, there's really
did
that.
Did he play?
Yeah. I am ready. See, it was kind of the Eye of the Tiger. Sort of. Anyways. So this is heavy on her mind that, you know, these men can die. And, you know, she's looking at this dead man and kind of contemplating, you know, the meaning of what this war and the cost behind it.
Yep. It's very sobering. You know, I've never been in a situation where I've been in a war zone, but I can't imagine how horrible it is.
I honestly haven't either. I know people who have, and the stuff that they have to deal with and the like mental breakdown of, you know, it's difficult.
It's very stressful.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No.
But yeah, so after that scene, we really just go into all these men talking with Bonnie Prince Charlie about their plans to get over this marsh to attack the British soldiers that are on the other side of it.
Yeah. So basically, there's this big, huge bog, and, you know, the Irish guy is, like, saying, yeah, well, we got to go across, and we're going to fight the British. Well, the, you know, Scottish guy or whatever is like, you're an idiot. We can't, because it's going to slow us down. And then they're going to, you know, get a good few shots at us, right? And Prince Charles, you know, he doesn't really know what he's doing. So he's like, mark me. We have to fight somehow or some way. But, like, he doesn't get friggin' battles to... like strategy, like that
he doesn't get anything.
He's totally clueless.
Just as a side note, big props to Terry Dresbach, who does the costumes. The outfit that he wears this episode is actually one of the outfits he wears in a portrait.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Exactly the same, the red plaid and everything. So I thought that was pretty cool. Just a little put that in there.
Well, yeah, because I mean, this week too, speaking about costumes, was Polyfest, which was 2 years ago, the event that Outlander was introduced to everybody and the actors and stuff, right? Kind of, you know, for promotion. And anyways, for this year's Polyfest, they had all of the costumes, I'm pretty sure, out on display, including several from this season, the beautiful dresses, but also, you know, the outfits that Jamie wore and several of the other characters as well.
Nice. I didn't know that. See?
Yeah, it's and also there's one costume as well that was designed by Vogue, I believe, or Vanity Fair, maybe? Anyways, I think it was Vogue, but actually it's like this gorgeous, it was that that outfit where she like, well, all of them, she kind of wears a hat, but she's got like that wide brim hat and she's in like white and black.
Yeah, the black and white one. With yeah,
but that's like a designer costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually, I think, one of Katrina's favorite ones to wear. I remember her mentioning that in an interview somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do it, though.
Oh, and I also read... I watched something somewhere about the costuming, right? It turns out that there's only one set of a costume. Like, they don't have doubles of the costumes because what they had to do with all of them was hand paint all of these costumes, right? For, you know, all of her dresses, because it would have cost way too much to embroider everything.
Yeah, that costume department's probably one of the most expensive departments on the whole set.
And also that beautiful red dress that we saw in episode 2. Katrina spilt coffee on it the last day of filming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that's nice. Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what? When you gotta have a cup of coffee, you gotta have a cup of coffee.
And you know what? I'm clumsy too, you know? So the floor loves me. We hug each other a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they finished their discussion of, you know, war and everything.
And you hear that, of course, train?
You can't play the... When Bonnie Prince Charlie's in an episode, of course, you have to play the Mark Me drinking game. Pretty sure you took like 5 shots this episode.
Yeah, no kidding. I kept writing it down every time you said it. Also, quick note, did anybody hear that train that's in the background? That was a freaking loud train. Anyways, let's go back to subject because I get distracted easily. So yeah, he keeps saying mark me because that's just what he does. And then also he makes a mention to Jamie as they're walking together and he says, you know, ask your wife to make sure that the English are cared for at the field hospital over the Jacobites. And I mean,
Jamie's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, exactly. He's like, okay, bitch. Okay, we.
Why would Jacobites. You say that? And yeah. Then, you know, Charles is like, because they're my subjects too.
Yeah, but which is understandable. But, the Jacobites are fighting for him, right? They have given up a lot to come out.
So much.
Exactly.
Like, Charles isn't really risking much of anything because he really doesn't have any land. The only thing he has is his title and his cause. And he can escape, you know, if the going gets tough, but because he has, you know, some money to do that and people that will help him escape. But see, most of his supporters are poor farmers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's awful, you know?
Yeah. So we kind of transition.
He's an awful person. I cannot stand him.
Oh, he's disgusting. I hate him. I think that's, like, obviously the point of his character is to, like, make you hate him.
No offense to the actor. I don't know if that's his real voice or not, but the way he speaks makes it feel like there's nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
It just grates my nerves.
So
it goes to the actor on that.
Yeah. So then we kind of transition to the camp outside where Angus, Murta, Rupert, also Ross and the other guy, and then Dougal are around, like, the cooking fire. Trying to keep warm because, you know, Scotland is not exactly a warm place to live. It's cold as shit and it's rainy all the time.
You could tell that wind was biting. Like, okay, down here in the south where I live,
humid as
in
hell.
The wintertime, I live on the coast, right? So in the wintertime, that wind is biting. Like, it can be cold, but then if there's humidity, that cold, humid wind blows through you and it just sends ice straight through you.
See, it's hilarious that you're, like, complaining. Okay, it's hilarious how you're complaining about the cold when I live up in Canada. And during the winter, especially on the East Coast and also not really the West Coast. The West Coast is filled with hippies.
Are you being regional uppity with me?
Yes, I am. But no, seriously, like, being in Canada, it's a lot.
I'm here bitching about
girl. Okay, you have never lived through 20 centimeters of snow. Okay, come back to me when you live through that shit.
98 degrees with a 10 degree heat index from the humidity, making it feel like 110 outside. Okay,
what's that in such a Celsius? Because I don't understand what the hell you're saying. I'm just saying, I don't know. Okay.
It really, really hot.
Okay, so, like, is that body temperature?
Like, the air sucks the breath out of you.
Is that hotter than body temperature?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck that noise. Don't ever want to deal with that shit.
It's like having a super high fever. That's what it's like. That's how hot.
Okay. Well, I prefer the cold to the heat because yeah, I don't want to die.
You can put on a whole bunch of shit, but you can only take off so much before you're naked. And being naked in public is frowned upon.
Okay, it's really a pity.
FYI, for your information.
Oh, as if we didn't know.
People.
Okay, man, we are going off on little tangents all the time. It's her fault.
Just kidding. Okay. Probably her fault. I have ADD.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back on point. So, first of all, Angus is spitting on the beard guy. I don't know what his name is.
I don't remember his name either.
I know that the one guy's name is Ross, and then the other guy, I don't know his name is. But anyways, so they're just hanging out there, and then Jamie comes along and, says, like, kind of how they don't really have a plan. But then he kind of kicks Dougal to come with them, and they start talking about possibly going across the bog, right?
And Dougal's like, I'll do that.
Yeah, because Dougal wants some recognition. Well, yeah. I volunteer as tribute. So he decides that he's going to go across the bog. And he does. And he starts, doing it because he does want some recognition from Bonnie Prince Charlie.
And he's a cocky bastard.
Well, that too, as well, right? So he starts going across, right? And
flails his arms open, like, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's a bog. It's like wetlands and stuff, right? So the horse and him only get to a certain part. And the British have already started to shoot. And luckily, him and the horse don't get shot, right? Well... they end up like going back, just kind of serving a point, serving a point to be like, hey, this land, we can't go across it like you're planning to do.
Yeah. He was, testing the theories. But he did get his hat shot off and, a bullet grazed him, but he took it all in stride. He was, like, so pissed off about the fact that they took his hat. They,
ruined his hat. That's a beret, okay? It's really hard to form that shit.
He was pissed.
No, like, honestly, like, you guys don't understand out there, but it is really hard to form a beret. It takes many, many days of, like, pulling this shit over to, like, so, how it's kind of, like, flapped over to the side?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like pretty awesome. That's really hard to do. It's like, it's not easy. You have to keep wetting your beret and you have to keep like forming it to go over to the side, or else it just honestly looks like you're the, popping fresh, like, chef's hat. Like, that's honestly what it looks like if you don't have an unformed beret. It's true. I'm just saying. I mean, military, we wear berets when I was ex-military, right? And that's the deal with that.
Well, Dougal comes back, and the prince gives him a big old hug. He's a very tiny man.
Yeah.
And Dougal doesn't know what to do with that, and he's just all happy that the prince gave him some recognition.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he's like, now the hero has to go and change his undergarments because he shat his pants. Dude, I'd shit my pants, too, if I was getting shot at.
Yeah, he almost got killed. I can't blame him.
Yep.
At least he was wearing brown pants.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
That was a really bad joke.
I love it.
Use that joke, so it's legit.
I would have said it. Okay, so Then we kind of go back to the field hospital where Claire is, and she's...
This is the first time we see Claire all episode, except at the beginning.
Oh, that's like, true.
We focused on Jamie and Dougal for the majority of it. And now, like, oh, look, there she is, talking about all the things that they need before the battle.
Yeah. And this is essentially her own little army of, you know, women, because she knows what the hell she's doing, and... You know, all she's, you know, teaching these women that, like, hey, this is what we need. This battle is coming and, you know, we can do it. And this is, you know, you all have your set jobs. And then she also tells Fergus.
Who's being a little brat.
Yeah.
It's okay. He's adorable. Yeah, I'd be a terrible mother. If I had that cute of a kid, I wouldn't want to fuss at him.
Well, you say that, but, like... They don't look so cute when you're, like, you know, when they're being a little asshole. I mean, I love my little sister, but when she's being a little asshole.
I do babysit a 5-year-old, and he's a monster, even though he is adorable.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that to Fergus. Fergus is too sweet.
Even when he's making...
She tells Fergus that he has to man the fires and keep them hot or warm or whatever. And he's like, but that's women's work.
She's like, excuse me? What did you say, boy?
I didn't say nothing.
I didn't say anything.
Nothing, my lady.
Yeah. So then a gentleman comes up into the field hospital and says to Claire that... he has some news that might help the cause, and that is a hidden path that goes across the bog.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she takes him to Jamie, and they discuss it with their generals and everything, and so that's what they're going to do. That's the plan. And then we have this scene afterwards where there's Ross and his buddy sitting by the fire. And Ross and his buddy exchange, you know, if something happens to me, I want you to take care of my wife and kids, you know, look after them after I'm gone, that kind of thing, you know. And they say, what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours if something happens to either of us. And so Angus and Rupert are sitting there and... Angus hears the conversation, and so he looks at Rupert, and he's like, you can have my sword and that whore from the brothel.
It's like, that's, she's not a whore, I'm pretty sure she's a wench, or whatever. Was she a whore?
Yeah, like, that's what Angus, or, like, Rupert, I think, called her a whore, and Angus was like, no, she's a tavern wench.
There's a difference.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he also said, and Rupert's like, why would I want a sword you don't even use and your dagger, you know, that kind of thing. But Rupert's like, you're not gonna fucking die, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also that scene between Myrta and Jamie, right, where they start talking.
Yeah,
it's like very short, but because, you know, Myrta, in a way, is a father figure to Jamie, right? So.
Yes.
Jamie has a lot of father figures, but anyways.
Yeah, and Myrta makes the point, you know, normally in a raid between clans, you know, every life matters in that moment. You know, if one guy dies, then the whole raid feels it. And with this one, it wouldn't be one man dying before he got recognition. It'd be 100 or 1,000. So.
Yeah. So, at this point, Fergus really wants to go out to this battle, right? And Claire, of course, is like, no, you have to stay back and
make the fires.
Exactly. She's trying to protect him.
And then he bitches to Jamie about it. It's women's work.
Yeah. So this is a part two where Claire is saying goodbye. Well, not goodbye, but she's you know, seeing them off before they go to the battle. Angus wants a kiss, you know, to say goodbye because that's, like, kind of his thing. Rupert says that, he will not be needing a kiss because they'll be coming back with a victory. The exchange between Murta and Claire is she asks him to watch Jamie, which he always does, of course. And then, you know, she kisses Jamie and it's like a little bit, it's like a sweet little love moment, you know, for the two of them.
Yeah. It's been quite a dry spell on Outlander, so I'll take the affection where I can get it. And that kiss was on fire.
Yeah.
Ooh, it heated up that screen.
So then they start, you know, across the bog, or the path, you know, across the bog in the dark. And then Claire is like, where's Fergus? And the little shit went on the raid anyways, or the battle anyways.
Oh, what a dummy. What a dumb kid. Yeah. Dumb kid. Bad, bad Fergus. Bad Fergus. You're still an adorable cinnamon roll, but bad Fergus. Yeah. Bad.
Now it's really misty because, especially in Scotland, there's a lot of mist along the moors and stuff. So what Prince Charles is there and he wants to lead the fight, but come on, Prince Charles leading a fight into battle, don't make me laugh, okay?
Yeah, Jamie, I love how Jamie sort of like takes control of the situation, and he was like, dude, no, you're gonna get to the back of the line.
Yeah, exactly, because
Charlie kind of, you know, argues with him a little, and Jamie's like, no, dude, stay here with this guy and this guy, and I'll lead, you mm-hmm. know. Good old Red Jamie.
Exactly.
I really like how the past few episodes have highlighted so much of Jamie, where normally we get mostly Claire, but I really like that they focus so much more on Jamie these past few episodes.
They really can't be focusing. Like, I mean, we want to see the battles, right? And if they were focusing on Claire, we would just be in the field hospital the whole time, right?
Exactly. So, plus, the books are in Claire's point of view, so she only gets it secondhand. So it's nice to see it from Jamie's point of view. But, yeah, so Charlie is pushed to the back of the line, and then the battle commences.
Yeah, and it's rough. It's a big battle scene, you know, where there's a lot of fighting and there's a lot of death.
And you see a lot of Red Jamie. If you are unaware with the book material, Jamie has a lot of alter egos, and Red Jamie is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And he just guns it. He's in fighting mode. He is a Viking.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, they are charging in the mist towards the British camp. And the fighting happens, and then it kind of finishes up. You know, there's a lot of slashing of swords, and there's just slashing of swords, really. But that's really as far as we can describe it. It's a good 5 minutes of, you know, just fighting, and I mean, it's great cinematography. It's amazing, you know.
It was. It's also got a little bit of back and forth. Like, you can see some scenes where they go back to the field hospital with Claire and everything, and but also with the battle. So it's back and forth a lot in the next few minutes. And a few things that happen at the field hospital is
Ross's buddy dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone. That's, you know.
He died, and then Rupert and Angus come in, and Angus has Rupert on his shoulder, and Rupert's got this huge gash on his stomach.
Where he got slashed by, I want to say, a British officer who was on a horse. A British
cavalry officer.
Yeah.
It's bad. It doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And we also find out that during that rescue, Rupert actually was really close to an exploding cannonball. But Rupert says he's fine, no big deal. I mean, not Rupert, Angus was the one that was really close to the cannonball, my bad. But Angus is like, no, I'm fine, it's, you know, him we've got to worry about, so. In the hullabaloo of this whole scene, We actually win the battle.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And then also, I mean, they fix Rupert up, you know, where she's sewing him up, right? And that's a pretty graphic part, you know, as she's sewing up the big gaping wound. But then also, Jamie comes, running in and saying that, like, you know, we won the battle, right? And of course, you know, Claire's like, where's Fergus? And then Jamie tells her, yeah, she tells, or he tells her that he's outside. So she goes to him and she's like, you stupid boy, you know, like, what were you thinking, right?
It's in mama bear mode.
Yeah. Which
I really appreciate that the show really highlighted Claire and Fergus's relationship more. Like, Jamie and Fergus have always had this sort of father-son slash master-servant kind of deal going on, you know? It's always that kind of relationship for them. Whereas in the books, Claire didn't come off as warm to me when it came to Fergus. Like, you know, she didn't hate him or anything, but you know, she wasn't really attached to him. That's how I felt. So yeah. I think they did a really good job of showing her as this mother figure to Fergus, and she really does care about him. And so, you know, Fergus ends up telling her that he actually killed someone, and he's in shock, basically. And she looks so heartbroken, and she's like, no, don't tell me that. And then she hugs him real tight. It was an emotional scene. Poor baby.
Yeah.
But Fergus, you shouldn't have done it in the first place, damn you.
I know. God damn it, Fergus. So then we go back to, like, the British camp, and Dougal's going
around. Dougal is fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah. He's going around, and he's killing all the guys who are almost dead, right? And he's stabbing them and making sure they're dead, which is... ugh, that's a bit rough to watch.
Like, hey, look, what's the word that Vikings use when someone
berserker?
Is like on a killing rampage?
Berserker.
Yeah, that's what he was. He was like a Viking berserker in that scene, just kill, kill, kill.
So then we see a familiar face, and that is
sexy Lieutenant Jeremy Foster.
Oh my god, I love him. He's so hot.
He's like the best British guy on the show.
Yeah, he really is. We see him. And Dougal, you know, goes over to him and he's like, oh look, it's the only noble British officer that I know. And so he goes over, sits by them, they have a little conversation.
And Jeremy's like, you know, even though you won this battle, you know that there's just no way you guys are going to win. And then
no, God,
sorry ass killed him.
Yeah, just stabbed him, just like boom, stabbed him. It's like, you know what? We are going to win this battle. And killed him. Yeah.
Sexy cutie face didn't deserve that.
No, he didn't.
Let me tell you something. Even though Lieutenant Jeremy Foster was not canon to the books, he's in our heart.
Yeah. Okay. Why would you kill Bay?
It was awful. Like, that death affected me so much more than what I thought it was. So sad. I was like, why did you do this to me, show people?
Yeah, like, I would prefer not have seen it.
You know what? You could have done so much with his character. Later on, he could have worked in a prison or some shit, you know, in the books. And we'd have been able to see him. But no, you have to kill him and break our hearts in the process. Gee, thanks, showrunners. It was bad. It affected me more than it should have.
It really did. I was like, I was really sad. So we kind of go back to the field hospital after our, like, moment of, you know, great sadness. Because, you know, why not?
Sadness. Anger. Fuck Dougal.
Fuck Dougal, yeah. So then what
that shit.
So what happens next is Jamie had gotten, like, stomped on by
By a horse.
By a horse. And Claire's like, pee in this cup because I don't want blood in your urine. Because, you know, that there could be internal bleeding, right?
Yeah, really close to that kidney of yours. And he's like, ugh. Whatever, you know, nagging wife.
Yeah, so he like says to the British, one of the British like men, you know, like, here's the cop, and you know they're gonna, he's gonna have a pissing contest, you know, to see how far he can piss.
Yeah, it's a lot more extended in the books, but
I don't really even remember that part at all.
Some people were upset about how they cut it short, but I wasn't. You know, it was still funny. It was a nice little lighthearted moment after we watched, you know, sexy Foster die. So,
oh, bae.
And then Prince Charlie comes in while Jamie's taking a fucking piss.
That's because he's a, like, you know, Debbie Downer for everything.
I know.
He's like a party. I'm going to call him Party Pooper Joe from now on. Party Pooper Joe.
Good thing we don't have very many more episodes before we get rid of him. Oh, shit. We only have... three. Oh, my God, Aisling. We only have 3 episodes left.
Oh, no. What are we going to do after all the episodes 13. Are done?
What are we going to do?
Don't worry. We got a plan. Yes, we do. Sort of.
But yeah, so Charles is talking to Jamie after Jamie manages to write himself. And then Duke comes in all fucking batshit crazy, lunging for the British officers and shit. And it's just, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Continue on.
You do it.
Oh, God. You're the
I
one.
Do most of the talking. You
what
talk.
Are you talking about? I do most of the talking. And then when you do decide to talk, you're always interrupting my goddamn jokes. I got a good one rolling. And then suddenly you just freaking come on and talk about something. It's a piss off. Okay. So this is the extent of our fighting. I'm not going to podcast with you anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's true. Okay, so...
empty threats.
Shut up, girl. So, yeah, Dougal is really upset, and he's, like, about to go and kill all the British people. And then Prince Charles is like, what are you doing, my good man? Or mark me. I don't know. It's kind of what he says anyways. But, like, he's really not up, you know, not too happy because he sees the British subjects as, they're his subjects as well, you know, as well as the Scots, right?
He had fair reasoning. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So he kind of stops and he's like, oh, you're disgusting. Like, what, you know, you're going against orders or something.
You're fired.
Yeah, pretty much. But then Jamie convinces
Donald Trump for a second. Yeah. You're fired.
You're fired. Just
or
at...
what are those fleas from Bug's Life? You fired.
Oh, okay. I really what?
You don't remember? Maybe they were like the roly poly bugs or whatever.
No,
it's in Bug's Life, and
oh,
he goes, "You're fired," and so the three like. Roly-polies are like, you fired, you fired, you fired.
I don't remember
hilarious.
That. Okay, so then Jamie convinces the prince to make Dougal in the the dragoons, or cavalry or whatever, right?
Like Scottish dragoons. Captain.
Yeah, you know, to make sure he goes away and never has to see him again sort of thing, right?
And even Dougal gets it. Dougal's like, wow, that's pretty slick. It'd make my brother Colin proud. You're rewarding me and banishing me at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So then we... this part is kind of, it's rough. It's a rough part.
Yeah.
I had a hard time watching it.
Yeah, this was actually not in the book. It happened the opposite.
Okay.
So, as far as I remember, if I'm wrong, call me out on it. But as I remember it, it was actually Angus that passed away first.
Ooh.
And instead, it's Rupert.
No, it's
No, my
Angus.
bad. It's
God.
Rupert that passed away first in the books. And instead, we have Angus pass away this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna miss that horrible smelling, awful, but somehow amazing man.
I know. It's okay.
Oh, man, it's gonna be rough. This, like, it's sad times ahead, and his death being the first one, it's just awful. Poor Angus, he deserved better.
Yeah. So yeah, what
Ugh.
happened was he had internal bleeding, from the
And
mortar
lung.
shell or whatever, and yeah, he passed away and choked on his own blood.
Yeah. So not only do we have to deal with Jeremy Foster dying, now we have to deal with Angus dying too.
I just feel like it's going to continue on where it's like people are just going to keep dying and we're going to keep being sad.
It's gonna be George R.R. Martin up in this bitch for a few weeks.
So after Angus dies, they all go out to like the victory celebrations 'cause they
It's
did.
pretty solemn though.
Yeah. Now that's the point where Ross and Rupert come out and they sing a song for the dead.
Yeah, and then Claire and Jamie have a discussion, and Murtaugh too. And Murtaugh or Jamie, one I can't remember, was like, "You were right about Prestonpans, you know, we won." And she said, "If I'm right about Prestonpans, that means I'm right about Culloden too." So
And that's kind of a
it's not looking good. But that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a very good episode. And it was very affecting. We're gonna have to do an in memoriam at the end of this. Well, it's gonna be a long fucking list.
Yeah. Just everybody who's died.
Right now, in memoriam to the sexy and wonderful Lieutenant Jeremy Foster. And the adorable and capricious Angus Moore.
Yep.
And a salutation to their actors who did fantastic jobs. So,
Exactly.
or you
Exactly.
guys got fired.
Yeah. Your character died, so you don't come back.
We love you, but yeah, sorry.
Bye. Bye, girl. Bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. So yeah, this is probably about the time that we should actually say goodbye for today. Now, Gracie, tell us what those websites
Oh,
are.
okay. We have our Tumblr, which is outlandersassenach.tumblr.com. We have our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/outlandersassenachpage. We have our email address if you want to send us any questions, outlandersassenach@gmail.com, and our blog, which is outlandersassenach.blogspot.com.
Be sure to bitch at us. We don't
Yeah,
mind. Also, you can
bitch
always
at us.
email us at we don't give a shit at gmail.com.
Shut up. I already gave them the email address. Don't confuse them.
Oh, okay. What was that email again? The actual one?
outlandersassenach@gmail.com.
All
All
right.
one word. I don't think we have really anything else to talk about. We kind of discussed everything that pretty much happened this week at the beginning of the episode. So I guess we got you guys will s bleh, whoa. Okay, we will see
Now we
you
gotta
guys.
start all over again. God damn it, Gracie.
Oh God, no. We will see you guys next week when I think the episode is called Vengeance is Mine or something like that. And it was written by Diana Gabaldon.
Ooh, I'm excited for next week's then.
Yeah, next week's going to be very interesting. And I wonder how many people are going to complain about how it wasn't like the book.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious because, I mean, Diana wrote it, okay? How many are you going to complain?
Come on, don't be a negative Nancy.
Sick of your shit.
All right. All right, you guys. See you next week.
All right. Bye.